So Rabbi said we're going to begin today with a concept that you're familiar with called Chatzi Shir. Chatzi Shir. What does that mean, Chatzi Shir? Hopefully my shir today will be a full shir, but there's something called a Chatzi Shir. What's a Chatzi Shir? Chatzi Shir means when the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat, let's say, nevela, for example, the Torah gives a shir. Now that shir is not explicit in the Torah. The Torah just says, thou shalt not eat nevela, but ein achila pachas mikezayis. And how do we know that the minimum amount of nevela to violate the Issur Torah is a kezayis? That's halacha l'moshe misinai. That's not something that's in the Torah itself, but it's something that is in the oral tradition. Now,
Zayis is a share for everything, isn't it?
For all machalos asurim, and also for mitzvos. For example, in the case of matzah, you have to eat a kezayis. In the case of truma, the kohen has to eat a kezayis. That's achila. The Torah's definition of achila is kezayis. Less than a kezayis is not kishir. So it would not constitute a violation of the Torah law. Is there anything that you had in mind? Any case in that in mind?
No, I was just thinking that would be the minimum shear for all the things the Torah is referring to.
I think so. As far as I know, I would say Nevel is just one example. It should be a Klai Akerem, and it would be Chadosh and Tevel, Trefus, Arla, anything. Anything that the Torah prohibits, Achila means Kizayis. And by the way, this goes even further. Let's say I take upon myself a Shvuah that I won't eat this bread. If I eat a kezayis of this bread, I violate the shvuah. So there's a case where it's not even the Torah that gave me the qualifications of what the neder or the shvuah is comprised of. But if I use the word achila, achila means kezayis. That's the now. Of course, you could talk about shiurim in shsiah as well, in drinking. So, for example, for kiddush, I have to drink a revias yayin, correct? On Yom Kippur itself, I'm not allowed to drink, let's say, a kikoseves of yayin or whatever it might be. So the shiurim may change when you get to Yom Kippur, because there the Torah says v'nisan. Fine. But the sugi that we want to talk about today is called chatzi shir. What happens if a person eats half of a kezayis? Now the issue is as follows. There's no doubt that you're not allowed to eat a half a kezayis of nevela. Nobody doubts that. But the question is, why not? Is that a Torah law or is that a drabbanon? And that's what the Gemara says at the end of Yuma, is a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan amar osur min haTorah, Reish Lakish amar mutar min haTorah. In other words, since we have a condition that you only violate the Torah law if you eat a kezayis, then Reish Lakish Lechora is very right. The Torah doesn't prohibit eating less than a kezayis. And if there is any sort of isur of eating less than a kezayis, it's got to be derabbanan. So the burden of proof here, it would seem to me, is on whom? In other words, in this machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, who really has to come up with some justification of his position?
I'm just confused, where does the nafkamina come up? I can see like maybe a mitzvah, I have two chetzis, but...
Well, no, what if you have a suffix situation? So according to Reish Lakish, your suffix is a suffix derabbanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you're dealing with a suffix d'oraisa. Mm-hmm. Not only that, it could be, this has to be taken under advisement, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, you get physical punishment, corporeal punishment, like malchus, for violating an Issur Torah. Whereas Reish Lakish, it's only a derabbanan.
So Rabbi Yochanan, you have to...
So I would think that the burden of proof here is on Rabbi Yochanan, because we know that the Torah stipulates this condition, that achila means kezayis. You ate half a kezayis, so you want to tell me that the Torah prohibited that? Mehechitesi, how do you know such a thing? And that's what I think the Gemara is going to try to explain here. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Osim in HaTorah. Why? Kevan dechazi litztarufe. Those are your two key words. Chazil tzaru, if you want to underline those words, is isura ka'achil. He is eating isur. What is chazil tzaru? Let's say you eat a half a zayis. Now you might eat another half a zayis. And litztarufe. Litztarufe means to join them together. Chazi means it's worthy or suitable. It can be joined together. So what?
Still, no.
That didn't help. That didn't help.
No. It didn't go over the time.
So you think the question's better than the answer, right? How does this answer explain why Chatzi Shir is awesome in Torah? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's to eat half is still not answer in Torah. Let's say he doesn't eat the second half.
Correct. So the language of Rav Yochanan seems to point us in the direction that he might eat half, or he could eat the other half, right? He could.
It's the same action.
That sounds rabbanan. The answer sounds rabbanan. It's a gather, right?
It sounds like a gzera, a classical siag, that if we allow him to eat half of his eyes, then he'll eat the other half of his eyes. But that doesn't generate an isa d'oraisa. Classically, that's a derabbanan.
It's a little bit strange in a machloket, just because it's not asur mina Torah, so why should it be mutter? That's a big jump already. Eat a full kippah or half a bite.
Hey, wait, what's the difference between saying something is not asur mina Torah and it's mutter mina Torah? aren't those identical? In other words, Reish Lakish is saying there is no Issa Torah, and therefore it's Mutter Minat Torah. There's no middle ground here. You know, either it's Mutter or it's awesome. Rabbi Yochanan takes the high ground and he says it's awesome Minat Torah. The Torah prohibits eating a half his eyes. So Reish Lakish says to him, where do you come off saying such a thing?
Aren't there certain Hilchot Shabbos that it's Mutter Aval?
But that means also the Rabbanon. That's what I put on the Mar Makom. It's interesting that you mentioned that. If you take a look at the next to the last source on your page, the Ram. Oh, I don't know. You may have a different Surah Sadaf here. Sorry. Maybe we should use the one that I gave out, because because I didn't give numbers to it. If I had given numbers, I would tell you what number it was. Anyway, the next to the last loss is Hilchos Shabbos Perek Alpha Locha Gimel. If you see such a Rama. So he says, "Kol Mokom Shenema Oseh Dovrezeh Potu."
Second page, first
time. I raise a potu min akores.
The ones I made.
Right, he says, "What does potu mean?" He says, "Potu aval osu." He took him to the next line. He says, "Osu lasos Oseh Dovrezeh Visuro." That's what you want to underline. Midivrei Sofrim. Okay, that's a strange phrase, midivrei sofer, but for our purposes, midivrei sofer means derabbanan.
The strong derabbanan.
But it's derabbanan. So if Reish Lakish says mutter min haTorah, l'chora is 100% right. And therefore the burden of proof is on Rabbi Yochanan to justify his conclusion that it's also min haTorah.
Isn't the Rambam disagreeing with Rabbi Yochanan, really? Because he said assuming it's all right.
But he's talking about the Ram. That's the Ram's introduction.
Yeah.
I didn't mention Potov, so you guys mentioned Potov. So if you're confused at this point, it's your fault, not mine. What do I mean? In Hilchos Shabbos, when it says in Shas Potter, it means Potov also. The Ram says also Midrabon. Okay, but when we go back to the sugya that we're learning today, not Shabbos, so there, when Reish Lakish says that there's no Isur and Chatzi Shir, he means Mutter min haTorah. Now, whether or not it's Asur the Rabbanon, that's a different discussion, which Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are not even addressing that question. So Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are fighting it out. Does the Torah itself prohibit Chatzi Shir? Rabbi Yochanan says yes, and Reish Lakish says no. How does Rabbi Yochanan justify that yes, there is an Isur Torah in Chatzi Shir? After all, the Shir itself defines Achila, which by the way is what Reish Lakish is going to say in the next line. Reish Lakish Omer Mutter Min haTorah Achila Omer Achmon of Aleka. The Torah says thou shalt not eat, and you didn't eat. There's no Achila. You ate half a gzais. That's not called Achila. So apparently Rabbi Yochanan says there is an Achila even though it's Pachos Mikashir. Why is that called an Achila? Because of Chazilitz Tarufe. Because you could take that half his eyes and you could add another half his eyes to it.
Even if it's, he might eat that second, he may not. But the fact that he could is enough to say, don't.
Why?
Yeah, it's a little.
So I'll tell you what I think. And again, I leave it to you. You're the jury, and you can decide whether you like this or you don't like it. Now, have you ever heard of Zeno's paradox? No, it doesn't ring any bell. You know, he used to, his paradox was that, let's say, if I stand next to this door, right?
So what's the distance between the Hitmer and the threshold, correct? It's, let's say, it's 3 feet, okay? It's a yard. Now I take another step, like he takes another step, but I can always cut and slice the distance. Even when I get up to here, it might be infinitesimal, but there's a certain distance between here and the threshold.
Meaning if each step is a half.
Yeah, because you can keep dividing something infinitely. So then his paradox was, how do I get to the other side of the threshold unless I cross over infinity? Okay. Anyway, we don't have to study Zeno's paradox, but what there is a paradox here. What's Rav Yochanan's paradox? We call it Rav Yochanan's paradox. His paradox is that if the Torah says I'm not allowed to eat a kezias, which is Reish Lakish's position, then I have a question for you, Reish Lakish. And that is that every kezias can be split infinitely. So when I get to 9.999% of my kezias, that's mutter. And then I eat another 0.9999 and now I violate the Iser? Like, what happened here? The answer is that every single segment, every single part and parcel that makes up this kezias is also nevela, is also asur. So every time I eat something, I'm eating nevela. You can't deny that I'm eating nevela. According to you, Reish Lakish, if I'm not eating nevela, then I never eat nevela because I can never get to a kezias because I can always split it into smaller parts. And each smaller part is mutter min haTorah. So what happens? So that last, you know, kezias, that became asur min haTorah? It must be that everything I ate was asur min haTorah.
So that's the variable of the
mitzvah
comes in.
That's the mitzvah, the very fact that you can link a tenth of a kezias with another tenth of a kezias, 10 times 10 until you finally get a full kezias, means that every tenth was awesome in our Torah. If every tenth was mutim in our Torah, then you would never have a kezias in the veil. That's what I call Zeno's paradox.
That's only if it's actually eaten.
I don't know if Rabbi Yochanan knew about Zeno's paradox. I don't know if he read Greek philosophy. I can't tell you.
That's only if it's actually done. If it's not done, then it's
yeah, but even if he didn't eat the full kezias, Rabbi Yochanan says, you have to admit to me that he's eating a kezias of nevela. Because otherwise, what happens? All of a sudden, you know, ex nihilo, from nowhere, kezias appears when I hit the kezias. A kezias nevela is on the table, correct? Every part and parcel must be a kezias. Otherwise, there's no chazilitz tarufe here. If you're going to tell me that as soon as I slice this, you know, this pizza pie, this non-kosher pizza pie into small parts, you're going to tell me that each part is mutter min haTorah because it's only a chatzi kezias, then where do I get an iser? I can never produce an iser. It's chazilitz tarufe means since I can link all these parts to it, every fraction of a kezias to make up a whole, it must be that every fraction of the kezias is awesome. That's what I think Rabbi Yochanan has in mind. The other alternative is to say Rabbi Yochanan has in mind the Gzera, like you said before, that we're worried that if you'll eat a chatzi zayis and we'll allow you to do that, then what's going to stop you from eating another half a zayis? And then you'll all of a sudden be in violation. So we have to be very careful about that. That's only a derabbanan kind of way of thinking. No. Sometimes the Torah itself is very concerned about allowing you to do X because it might lead to do Y. Where do we find that the Torah itself this? So Tosis, for example, the beginning of Pesachim says that the Torah doesn't allow you to own chametz. You can't keep chametz in your house on Pesach. Why? Because we're afraid you might eat it. So really the Iser is not to eat chametz on Pesach, but the Torah went further and set a fence around it. Or for example, you know there's an Iser Yichud, right? You're not allowed to be alone in a private place, a locked door with a woman who's not permissible to you. That also might be a gzera, but it's a doraisa. It's a halacha doraisa. The Gemara derives from Sukkim. Isha lo sikrivu. Lo sikrivu means you can't come close to a woman. Means you can't be locked in a room with her. Why? Because it'll lead to the more serious violation of arayas. So you see that the Torah itself makes a gzera, you know, that, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan might be saying. This is the sheet of the Nodav Yehuda. The Nodav Yehuda says if you eat the chatzi zayas at the last second before shkia, then even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that that's mutter min haTorah. Why? Because it's impossible to be mitztaref. He doesn't have enough time to eat, to literally, physically eat the second half of the Zayas. So let's say at the end of Yom HaKippurim, he eats
This is another beauty of the Shita in Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan would admit to Reish Lakish that if there's no possibility of, like, let's say if you could imagine, I don't know how you could imagine this, but in a fantasy world, that there's only one Kezias Nevela on the face of the earth, and now I take that Kezias Nevela, divide it into half, and I burn half of it. Now there's only one half of Kezias Nevela on the face of the earth. Is then Rabbi Yochanan would agree that you're allowed to eat Minat Torah, you're allowed to eat right. That other half of Zion. That's an old view.
Part of the machlokes.
No, not everyone agrees with this.
What's normal? Yeah, I think a kezayit is like a normal amount of achila. And Reish Lakish is also saying that it's you didn't eat a whole kezayit, you're not really doing the act of eating so seriously. So it really shouldn't be part of the Isser. You did some eating, but not really.
So that's a good point.
Maybe the
counter argument against Rabbi Yochanan would be okay. So you've convinced me that every part and parcel, every segment of this Kezayis Nevela is Nevela. That I'll agree with you. Reish Lakish could agree with you. But you have another problem, and that's the quality of the action. You're establishing something about the quality of the object, you know, the nevela. So that's true that every part of the nevela is awesome, but that doesn't mean that I can't eat that segment. I'm not allowed to eat that segment. Now you're talking already about the act of achila, what we call the maisach. Yeah, this is my thing of tagava. Okay, so this I give it my 9 o'clock.
No, you could have it like if you had, let's say, nevela mixed in with something, and you got to finish something else much larger, right? To get the whole kezayit, to eat, have eaten kezayit of Isser, the chlam. So then you could say, according to Rabbi Yochanan, yeah, that whole thing was made Isser. Maybe it has tam nevela, whatever it is. Okay, and Reish Lakish could say to you, no, this is more likely to be a shogeg instance. How did a person have only one kezayit of Isser in the whole larger thing? And everything, you know, let's talk specifics first. Maybe it's not even us there.
Okay, but again, the case that we're dealing with on the table is he ate half a kezayis. The Gemara then goes on, by the way, and offers another explanation to Rabbi Yochanan. And the Gemara says, you'll see the last line that I asked to look at, it says, Talmud Lomar, there's a pasuk in Vayikra Perek Zayin that says, Kol Chelev. Now we have a rule of thumb that whenever the Torah adds an extra word, it's coming to expand, in this case, an Isur. So it says, Kol Chelev Lo Tol Chelev. Don't eat any Chelev. That's how Rabbi Yochanan learns it. And based on this, Rabbi Yochanan comes to the conclusion that Chatzi Shir Osim Ben HaTorah. And then at that point, Reish Lakish defends himself by saying, "Midrabbanan ukras smachta bialma," that the word kol chelev is only an asmachta, meaning it's not a full-fledged rasha. But what I wanted to get out of this sugya is that the Gemara really approaches Rabbi Yochanan Chatzi Shir Osim Ben HaTorah from two different perspectives. One is that he's based on the svara, the logic of chazil itztarufei, and the other is he's based on a drasha of kol chelev. Those are the two possibilities. Okay. Now, Rabosai, let's fast forward to the laws of Shabbos. Okay, then? What is it about Chatzi Shir and Shabbos that might possibly make it different than Chatzi Shir in Kol HaTorah Kula? Meaning, we've discussed Chatzi Shir, for example, in the case of Nevela. What would be in the case of Chatzi Shir in Shabbos? Shabbos, of course, is made up of 39 categories of Malacha. And in most of the categories, most of the malachas, they have a shir. There's a minimal amount that you have to do in order to be chayav, in order to be machal Shabbos. What happens if you did half that amount, for example? So this is really a sugya in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Ayin Dalet. And the Gemara says over there that according to the Braisa, that you're allowed to do a limited amount of borer. It says borer v'yochel. In other words, if you take out the psolus, you know, that which you don't need, and you eat the ochel immediately, and you do this time after time in small, you know, what we call piecemeal, then it's okay. And right away the Gemara on the third line, he says, "Maskiflo Rav Chisda v'chimuto lefos lebobayom chimuto levashu bobayom." Okay, that's actually not the part of the Gemara that we want to focus on. Elam Rav Chisda bar v'yochel pachos mikashir. That what the Brisa meant was that you can do it piecemeal, was not that he's doing it for tomorrow, but rather that he's eating it in stages. Pachos mikashir. Boru meniach pachos mikashir. Ukashir lo yivrav in birer chayev chatos.
Kashir here is the amount of time.
Well, yes and no. I'll tell you the truth. In this case, the Gemara is analyzing Kashir from two different perspectives, not only from the perspective of the amount of time, but also in terms of how much in volume he's going to do. Because the Gemara, I don't have the Gemara in front of me, unfortunately, I should have brought it in.
Say it might be less than a kazayit also.
Oh, so the Gemara speaks about afir, because the Gemara says that this same halacha of chatzi shir applies to afir, meaning in baking, you have to bake a certain volume of bread in order to be chayav for afir. And what happens if he bakes half of that volume? A chatzi shir. So the Gemara thought that this brisa is allowing you to do such a thing. And the Gemara says, is that so? Are you allowed to bake chatzi shir? That's certainly not allowed. So if you take a look at Rashi here, in the second line, he says, V'chimutar lefos ulevashel pochos mikashir. Rashi says that the shir is pochos mikigrogros, that's a kind of a fig. V'chimutar lefos pochos mikashir, says Rashi. Are you telling me that you're allowed to bake on Shabbos less than the shir of afir? Nehi dechiv chatos leka. It's true that he doesn't get chatos. I mean, he's not in violation of a full Chil Shabbos, but Isura Mia Ika. But there is a violation of an Isur. And how do I know this, says Rashi? They came along because we paskin Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah. We have accepted the view of Rabbi Yochanan Beperek Basra De Yuma in the last Perek of Yuma on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. That's the Rabbi Yochanan that we saw on the top. So therefore Rabbi Yochanan in his principle of Chatzi Shir is telling us something about someone who bakes on Shabbos less than a grogeres, that he too is in violation of an Isur Torah. So again, if I ask you the following question, does the principle of Rabbi Yochanan that Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah apply to Shabbos? What would be your answer?
Should.
Well, does it or does it not? What did you see here?
The commonality is Isur Darais, and the commonality is something that can be divided into distinct parts. So if the distinct part is also Asur because it could come to a whole, then why not? The parallel
right.
Seems clear.
Yeah, okay, you're 100% right, Ben, but you're a step ahead of me. I wasn't asking for a logical analogy. I was just saying from the text itself, what conclusion do we derive? Rashi, this is very important because, you know, Rashi has a certain authority. You know, we get very nervous if we want to question Rashi. You know, Rashi's big. You know, there are many Rishonim, but Rashi's amongst the biggest, if not the biggest. And Rashi says explicitly, that's what I want, you know, you're already giving me the explanation for Rashi, but I wanted to see that Rashi goes on record and he says that if you bake a chatzi shir of grogeres on Shabbos, Rashi says that is asur. And again, if you could underline these words, Isura Mia Ika, there is a violation of an Isur. Dekaima Lon, because we paskin Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah. Rashi's outspoken about the fact that we apply the principle of Rabbi Yochanan of Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah to the case of Afia on Shabbos.
Can we say that Ikar and Asur Daraita are synonymous? I mean, Ikar is a hint that he's Asur Daraita.
I'm not sure. I'd have to see the word ikar in its context. Is it something that we saw here?
No, I think the Rashi says the word ikar, no?
Oh, okay. Perfect. So maybe I missed that word. I'm sorry. The kaimel and chatzi shir asur min haTorah beperek basra de yuma. Just one second.
I mean, I may have been mistaken and heard ikar when it wasn't.
I don't know. I'm not sure if I saw the word ikar here, but you're right. I mean, generally speaking, the word ikar would probably refer to a doraisa. Now, Rashi is not the only Rishon. There are other Rishonim. As I said before, Rashi is very authoritative. But I want to study with you the Rashbam. Rashbam, who was part of Rashi's family, wrote the commentary on Masechet Bava Basra. We only have Rashi and Bava Basra up to Daf Chavtes, but from Daf Chavtes and on, it's the Rashbam. So the Gemara in Bava Basra addresses the following question. Hotzi Chatzi Grogeres L'shus HaRavim. He's standing in a Rishus HaYochid, and he carries half of a Grogeres, the shear for Hotzah, to take something from Rishus HaYochid out to Rishus HaRavim, is a Grogeres. And he carries out a Chatzi Grogeres, V'nicha, and he lays it down in Rishus HaRavim. Then Chazar, he goes back into the Rishus HaYochid, V'hotzi, and again, takes out a Chatzi Grogeres Acheres, another Chatzi Grogeres. So the law is behelim echad. If it was in one forgetfulness, he forgot it was Shabbos chayav. Then he has to bring a korban chatas. B'shnei halamos potur. If he reminded himself between the first otzah of chatzi kibrug and the second otzah, then he's potur. Says the Rashbam, b'mesecha Shabbos tnan, we have a mishnah in Shabbos. Quote hamotzi ochlim. If a person carries foodstuff from a private domain to a public domain, chayav. And when is he chayav? Bigrogeres, if he carries a grogeres b'shabbos. And why do we need a full grogeres? So you and I would have said, why do we need a full grogeres? Why do we need a full kezayis in the veil? Does the Torah say that you're only chayav in a veil if you eat a kezayis? Where does it say in the Torah that you're only chayav for afia or for hotzah on Shabbos if it's a grogeres? I didn't see it in the Torah. That's called halacha l'moshe misinai. So what does the Rashbam mean when he says that, why is it that on Shabbos you're only chayav for grogeres? The answer to that question is because of halacha l'moshe misinai. I don't dig it. I don't know what the Rashbam is saying. But let's see the Rashbam's answer to this question. He says the b'shabbos meleches machsheves asra Torah. Those four words, meleches machsheves asra Torah, the most important words in all of Masechta Shabbos. And I don't know what they mean exactly, but I do know what the Rashbam wants to derive from those four words. And he's saying that there's a precondition in the violation of Shabbos that you have to have meleches machsheves. That's what the Torah prohibits. And if it's not a meleches machsheves, then it was not prohibited. Says the Rashbam that less than a grogeres is not called a meleches machsheves. V'lo chashiva hotzas dover chashuv bepachos mikugrogeres. And there's no significance to carrying something that's less than a grogeres. The significance of carrying is measured by the volume that you are carrying. You're relocating something from one rishus to the other. What was the substance? What was the volume that you relocated? And it's got to be a grogeres. If it's less than a grogeres, lo chshiva, there's no chshivus. There's no, how would you translate the word chashivus into English?
Important, significance.
Correct, significance. It's not significant.
Maybe here, intentionality. You didn't really do it wholeheartedly.
Well, you might be right, but are you on the same page as me? Meaning, are we in agreement that the Rashbam is saying that if you carry less than a shear, that's not chayav in Shabbos because that's not a meleches machsheves? He's not saying that the reason why you're not chayav is because you only did a chatzi shear. He's giving us a whole new insight. And he's saying that there's a unique halacha in Hilchas Shabbos, a precondition in Hilchas Shabbos, that you're only chayav on Shabbos if it's a meleches machsheves. And the Rashbam is saying that less than a shear is not a meleches machsheves. Why is it not a meleches machsheves? Because it's not chashiva. It doesn't have that significance.
So maybe it is the same thing as a shear.
But if it's the same thing as the shir, why does the Rashbam need to quote the halacha, the Mishnah of Meleches Machsheves Asur Torah? Like, for example, where do we find Meleches Machsheves Asur Torah? The Mishnah says that if you do a malacha, it has to be a malacha hamiskayemis. It has to be something that can exist for a long period of time. It's got permanence to it. You know that in the hospitals here, in Shari Tzedek Hospital, you know, when they have to write things on Shabbos, they do it with ink that's going to eventually fade away. Why? Because if you have to violate Shabbos, do it in a way that it's not a malacha miskayemus. It doesn't have the chashivus because it's temporary and not permanent. Or I'll give you another example. In tofer, you're only chayv if you tie two stitches and then you put knots at the end of each of the two stitches, because otherwise the stitches are not going to remain permanent, and that's not a malacha miskayemes, and therefore it's not maleches machsheves. The Torah wants to prohibit us on Shabbos from a malacha chashuva that has permanence to it. And I'll give you another example. We have it also in binyan. Let's say, for example, I don't know if this is relevant to your family life. It's definitely relevant to my family life. We allow the children to play on Shabbos with Lego. Now, Lego should be a classical case of binyan, because what's binyan? Binyan means when you put pieces together and you attach them. So the answer to that is because it's not a malacha miskayemes. Meaning you don't put a permanent fixture, you know, you don't put nails in when you make Lego. Although I've seen Lego that lasts for, you know, they do some really creative stuff in Lego. But that might be a problem on Shabbos, I don't know. You know, they talk about disposable diapers. In the old days, I'm probably dating myself, they used to have these disposable diapers where you open up a little, you know, there's an adhesion, and you open it and close it again. So they say, well, why isn't that malachas tofer? Because tofer means whenever you put two things together and they stick together. So they say because it's not permanent, because the same way you close it, you open it. Anyway, there are a lot of cases in Hilchos Shabbos where you're allowed to do certain things, or at least you don't violate Shabbos in a Doraisa level, because it's Eino Miskayemis. Are you with me on that?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's called Meleches Machsheves. Good to see you, Rabbi. Thanks for coming. Now, in the case of the Rashbam, the Rashbam is saying something really amazing, and it's an eye-opener. He's saying that if you carry less than a grogeres on Shabbos, which is less than the shear, that's not Meleches Machsheves. Now, I can understand that the Mishnah says it's not Meleches Machsheves if it's temporary and it's going to fall apart and it's not permanent. The Gemara has a case, for example, where you write something on Shabbos on an ola shel zayis, like on the leaf of an olive tree, you know, and it's not going to last very much. It's going to just simply disintegrate within a matter of time. So we have many cases where the malach is not considered chashuv because it's not permanent. But why would I say that the malach here is not a maleches machsheves because he only carried a chatzi grogeres? What is Rashbam telling us here? I mean, just reformulating the words of Rashbam without even adding anything. You know, just what's the equation of the Rashbam over here?
It sounds like he's saying that's what the shear is.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what the shear is. The shear is going to create a Meleches Machsheves. And that, my friends, is a unique Shabbos halacha.
It sounds to me, and I mean a slightly educated guess, that Malachim Machsheves will have different perushim, what exactly that means.
Correct.
But in this context, it's being linked with another variable, which makes it very relevant to our sugya.
Correct. But what my point only is that if we're adding a precondition in Meleches Shabbos that's very unique to Meleches Shabbos, that's called Meleches Machsheves, and we don't find that elsewhere. For example, in Hilchos Kelayim, if you put two stitches together of tzemer and pishtin, of linen and wool, you're chayav for that, even though you don't add the ksharim at the end, even though it's ultimately going to fall apart. There are many cases in the Torah where you're going to be chayav, and it constitutes the action that you have to do, or to be chayav, or to fulfill something, even though it doesn't have permanence to it. This requirement of permanence is a unique characteristic or condition to Hilchos Shabbos. We never found Meleches Machsheves elsewhere. So, for example, if a man writes a get, and the get is written on an Olashel Zayas. Or for example, he writes a get on ink that will eventually disappear. It doesn't matter. As long as she received the get, the two Aiden testify, we know what the get said. She's Megureshes, even though the Torah says, V'kasav lo Sefer Christus. So you have to write a Sefer Christus. But that same identical ksiva would not qualify as a Meleches Kosev on Shabbos because it's lacking permanence and therefore it's not a Meleches Machshevos. What the Rashbam is telling us here is that forget about Chatzi Shir as we know it universally. Forget about that. Put that on the side in the back burners. Talk about Chatzi Shir as a unique Shabbos halacha. And in Hilcha Shabbos, Chatzi Shir is lacking, it's deficient in Meleches Machshevos. The condition that defines a Melech on Shabbos has not been fulfilled. Why? Because he carried only a Chatzi Gogeris. That's not Meleches Machshevos. Again, as you said, Ben, he's broadening our definition of Meleches Machshevos. We thought Meleches Machshevos means, well, it reflects itself in whether it's permanent or it's temporary. You know, how long is it going to last? That gives it chashivas. It has permanence to it. Now the Rashbam is saying, no, the volume also defines the significance of a melacha. And if it's less than a grogeres, that's insignificant. What are you going to do with less than a grogeres? But the point that I'm making is that if you were to ask me the following question, according to the Rashbam, if a man carries half of a grogeres or bakes half of a grogeres on Shabbos, did he violate any Isser according to the Torah law? What would be my answer?
According to
the Rashbam, I'm saying that would be. Absolutely not. I promise you, according to Rashbam, I would stake my reputation on this. There is no Torah violation in carrying less than a grogeres because the Rashbam classifies that as an incomplete malacha. The malacha is not Meleches Machshevos. You're lacking a very definitional, essential component of Meleches Shabbos. So whereas Rashi, if we go back to Rashi, and I told you Rashi is very authoritative, but he's not the final word here on this thing. Rashi says that in the case where he bakes half of a grogeres, Rashi says, Isura mi'aika de kaimelan chatzi shir asur min haTorah. You know, as Rashi is activating the universal principle of chatzi shir that applies to eating half of a kezayis of the vela, and Rashi says the same thing applies to someone who bakes half of a grogeres on Shabbos, and it's asur min haTorah, b'toras chatzi shir. The Rashbam says chatzi shir is not even a meleches machshevos. There's nothing to talk about here. It's not a malach.
How do you know that when the Rashbam said below chashiva, he meant mutter?
Well, again, I don't know what you mean by mutter. I mean, he's not saying it's mutter,
but
he's saying it's not a doraisa because anything that is excluded from Meleches Machshevos could be, in the worst case scenario, derabbanan. You know, Ben, you asked me before, like, what's the difference? So, for example, the Shaarei Tzedek Hospital will be more lenient in writing on Shabbos for the sake of a chole. Why? Because the whole Iser of writing on Shabbos with this ink that's going to disappear is only Durabana. Now, that doesn't mean Chas V'Shalom, I want to be Mezalzel and be, you know, flippant about a Durabana. But for the sake of a Chola, we can be Matir Durabana. We can't be Matir Doraisa. But the answer is, if it's not Meleches Machshevos, then according to Torah law, it's Mutter. Durabana are going to prohibit it. But it's... So, for example, if I would ask Rashi and the Rashbam the following question, what two different answers would I get? A man wrote one letter on Shabbos. The shir of Meleches Kosev is two letters. Did he violate a Torah law? What would Rashi say and what would Rashbam say?
I think Rashi would say us and Rashbam say no.
Rashi would say he violated the Torah law. That's called Chatzi Shir Asim and HaTorah. The Rashbam is very well aware of the principle of Chatzi Shir Asim and HaTorah. But here he would say there's no Issur Torah. Why? Because he talking about Shabbos. And within Shabbos, in that constellation called Shabbos, there's a principle, a precondition that's got to be Meleches Machshevos. And less than a shir is not Meleches Machshevos. It's not considered significant. For example, Chazal say that the shortest word in the Torah has two letters to it. There's no such thing as writing a word with one letter. So if you write one letter in English, an I is a word. Is that the only letter or are there others? That's the one that comes to mind now. Anyway,
We have all sorts of short, you know, the symbols and so forth. So, but I think only the letter I is a word. Whatever, it doesn't matter. It's not good. Oh, A is a letter. Yeah, A, I. Okay. But in Lashon Kodesh, we need two letters. Two letters is the minimum building blocks to create a word. He wrote one letter. So how do you view that? So Rashi is going to say, well, that's called Chatzi Shir. That's like eating half an avela. Half a kezayis of the veil. And that's also been a Torah, because we pass it like Rabbi Yochanan. The Rashbam would say, that's not a malach. And if it's not a malach, it's not also on Shabbos. Again, it'll be also the Rabbanim, please. Don't get confusing here. Nothing that we say here, I don't want anyone walking out of the room and saying, oh, Rabbi Berzin said, I'm allowed to write one letter on Shabbos. I didn't say that. And if you claim I said that, I'm going to deny it. You know?
Well, the Rashbam here is not saying anything about Asur and Mutter. He's saying Chayav and Patur. That could be two different things.
But the Rashbam is invoking the principle of Meleches Machsheves. Rabosai, as soon as you invoke the principle of Meleches Machsheves, you're basically saying it's Mutter min HaTorah. Why? Because it's not a Melecha. Again, if you were asking me, is this an afira for other purposes? Is this a ksiva for other purposes? Is this a tfira for other purposes? The answer is yes. And then I can apply the principle of chatzi shir asa min haTorah. But if you're asking me, is this a tfira as far as Shabbos is concerned? Is this an afira as far as Shabbos is concerned? Is this hotzah as far as Shabbos is concerned? The answer is the Torah prohibited malacha. But not only that, the Torah qualified which malacha is asa. What's the answer? It's got to be Meleches Machsheves, says Rashbam. Less than a shear is not Meleches Machsheves. And I printed for you on the back, I think, of your page, I hope, a piece from the Totzos Chaim. No, not on that page. I gave you two pages.
I think I have one of those.
Oh, yeah, you have one. I gave it a whole bunch, but that's because I really honestly, genuinely, sincerely believe that I was giving it to people who were going to come to the Shia. And I put a lot of work into the Shia. But, okay, I don't know. I messed up by teaching Chumash.
Here you go.
That's Chatoiri Mazki. Okay.
We're all right.
Now, you should know who the Totzos Chaim was. His name was Rabbi Nachum Zembel. And he was murdered by the Nazis, Yimach Shemom. He was a great genius, and we have very little of his writing because he was killed, obviously, at a younger age. And he gets into this whole thing. Do you see the name? The title of this whole simon is Bedin Chatzi Shir Behotzah. In other words, he's even whittling down our discussion even further. I thought the discussion, I would have written an article called Bedin Chatzi Shir B'Meleches Shabbos, and I would have included all 39. He wants to zoom in on Meleches Hotzah, which is one specific Melecha, and he wants to perhaps suggest that there's something unique about this Melecha in the constellation of 39 in terms of Chatzi Shir. No, it's not coincidental that the Rashbam's comment is in the context of Hotzah, and maybe the Rashbam would not go as far as saying that Chatzi Shir in all Melechas is a chisar and a lack of Meleches Machsheves. Maybe it's only an Otzah.
Does an Otzah have the thing where you have two people carrying one drops one as unique to other of the Lamentet Melechot?
Right. No, the question is what's called Moshe Midyuta Lidyuta. It could be that if, let's say, a Dyuta means like a veranda, like you see out here. So you're standing over there, and I'm standing over here, and I pass something over to you, and below us is Rosh Hashanah. Now the question is, how far Rosh Hashanah goes up? So let's say we were on a lower floor, because let's say Rosh Hashanah is all Ad L'Rekiv, Rosh Hashanah is only all the 10 Tfachim. But let's say that we were on a very low floor. Okay, so that's called Moshe. And that's what they did with the crush. And let's say Reuven was in one agalah, one wagon, and Shimon was in another agalah, and Reuven would pass it from one wagon to another wagon. Each wagon had the status of Rishus HaYachid, and the airspace in between was Rishus HaRabim, because that was called the Machne Yisrael. Anyway, so that's Hotzah. The question is whether Moshit is an Av, is it a Tolda? I mean, there's a lot of discussions about that, but you know, it'll take us a while till we begin to get to this if we're going to learn Shabbos together. That's why I was hoping that this year would be sort of like cumulative, you know, but so now I'm going to be mituskal, you know, I'm going to be very confused. I don't know if you follow my point. You know, do I have to repeat this year for those who dropped out? Okay, I don't know. I got a little bit emotional. I'm sorry. Okay. Let's take a look for a moment at a Tosus in Shabbos. Here's the case. A tailor has what's called a machat, right? He has his needle. And the Mishnah says that samach l'chashecha, when it's close to the beginning of Shabbos, he shouldn't be carrying his machat, his needle, because he may forget and carry it after chashecha, after it gets dark on Shabbos. So Tosus points out here that even if he carries it, he doesn't violate the Shabbos. That's not a violation of Shabbos. Why? Because he's already holding the machat in his hand, and it's not yet Shabbos. And moleches hotzah, carrying, consists of, number one, picking up the object, transferring it to another rishus, and then putting it down. And therefore, if you have done only, let's say, two parts, let's say you did what's called the havara sachefes rishus rishus, and then hanocha sachefes, but you didn't do the akira. So let's say, for example, if I pick up something before Shabbos, and then I move it on Shabbos, Tosa says I didn't violate Melechus Hotzah because the Akira, the picking up the object, was done before Shabbos.
I thought the tailor might have the needle.
Oh, so therefore Tosa reinterprets it that really he might do an Akira, let's say if it's attached to him, and then it gets dark, and then he starts moving. Tosa has to work it out in such a way.
At the end of his work, he forgot a needle in his own clothing. And then he got out to reshoot the Ravim and he sees it.
Correct. And then Tosfos wants to know, are we afraid he might go into a Carmelist, and a Carmelist is only to Rabbanon, and then he goes to Xeru, it's a title tug. A lot of different dimensions here of this Tosfos. But in any event, what we're going to see in Rabbi Nachum Zemba in this Totzos Chaim, he's going to build a lot on this Tosfos, because he thinks that Tosfos is also indicating that if you're missing part of the Malacha, that's called a chisar in Maleches Machsheves. The Maleches Machsheves of Hotzah consists not just of bringing it out, but of picking it up. In a sense, what you're doing is you're removing it from its resting place and putting it down in another resting place in a different Rishus. And Rabbi Nachum Zemba wants to say that that's like a chatzi shir kind of thing. He did part of the Malach, and Tosfos assumed he would not in any way incur any doraisa if he did that. So technically, if I start a malach on Erev Shabbos and I complete it on Shabbos itself, then on a Torah level, again, forgetting about the Rabbanans right now, I have done nothing. Why? Because it's not a Maleches Machsheves. And the Totzos Chaim wants to assume that maybe Tosus belongs to the camp of the Rashbam, that the problem of Chatzi Shir, or for that matter, any time we're missing a chunk of the malacha and he hasn't done the complete malacha, that's called Maleches Machsheves. When I say Maleches Machsheves, I mean, you know, you fall short of a Maleches Machsheves, and therefore the Torah would allow that. Just like the Rashbam applies Chatzi Shir in the case of a Gogeris, and he says the Torah would allow that because it's not Maleches Machsheves. So too, in a case where he didn't do the Akira on Shabbos, so the whole Malach wasn't done, that's also a Chisar, and it's not Maleches Machsheves. Then he wants to claim that the Rambam belongs to this camp. Why? Because the Rambam paskins in Perek Yud Beis Milchus Shabbos Halacha Tes, Ein Hamotzi Mershus Lushus Chayev Ad Sheyotzi Kishir Hamoil, until he actually carries a certain volume that's meaningful, you know, that it can accomplish something. He says Kishir Hamoil Mershus Hayok Lushus Harab Mershus Harab Mershus Hayok V'Yakor Mershus Zuv V'Aniach Mershus Shni Avolim Okar V'Lo Heiniach. O hiniach velo akar, o shahotzi pachos mikishir potur. Now the word potur in the Rambam, that's why I put the next Rambam in, because the Rambam tells you in his introduction to Hilchos Shabbos and Perek Aleph that any time I use the word potur, I mean it's only osur mid rabbanon,
And the Rambam has three cases where you're potter in Meleches Hotzah. First, he has the case where he did the Akira without the Hanocha. Then he has the case where he did the Hanocha without the Akira. And then he has the case of Pachus Mikishir. And the Rambam combines all these three together and calls them potter, which again, in the Rambam's frame of reference, that means that Minat Torah, it's mutter. It's only potter Amal Asim in Rabbanah. Now, if the Rambam throws in Chatzishir here, then that doesn't stim with Rashi, because Rashi says Chatzishir is Asim in a Torah. The Rambam had no right to say potter, because potter in the Rambam is a, you know, is a code word for Rabbanah, which means that it's mutter Minat Torah. So basically what we're seeing here is an entire group of Rishonim that includes the Rashbam, that includes Tosis, that includes the Rambam, that all seem to assume that a Chatzi Shir is Mutar Min HaTorah in the case of Shabbos, because the Melacha is lacking in Chashivus. And if it doesn't have that significance, it's not a Melachas Machshavus, it's Mutar Min HaTorah. And all this I postulate as opposed to Rashi, because Rashi holds that Chatzi Shir is Asur Min HaTorah. And if we get a chance, I don't know if we'll do this today, I'm going to show you the Mishnah Berurah says that if you have a suffix about a Chatzishir, then you have to be Machmir because Chatzishir also in a Torah.
It's more normal.
And he's quoting Rashi. Do you follow my point? So again, I want to repeat that last point because it's going to come up hopefully again and again until we work this all out and we clarify this. The Mishnah Berurah is going to tell you that if you have a suffix situation about a Malach on Shabbos in a Chatzi Shir, then Yesh Lahachmir, we have to be Machmir, because Chatzi Shir is Asim in Atonim. And he's basing himself on the Rashi that we began with in Masechta Shabbos Ayin Dalid. But the way I see it, and I believe that's the way Rabbi Nachum Zerba sees it, although he doesn't quote the Mishnah Berurah, he was before the Mishnah Berurah, so to speak. He was actually, technically, he was after the Mishnah Berurah. I don't know if he ever went through the Mishnah Berurah. Is that's against the Rashbam, the Rambam, and Tosfos. Now, again, as I said, we have a great deal of Yiras HaKavod for Rashi, but we're beginning to line up a bunch of Rishonim who understood that Chatzi Shir is a Chisaron Meleches Machshavos, which means that it's Mutar Min HaTorah. And has nothing to do with Rabbi Yochanan. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. We accept Rabbi Yochanan. If Rabbi Yochanan was here in the room, we would fall Kiran. You know, Rabbi Yochanan, you're 100% correct that Chatzi Shir is awesome in HaTorah. But not in Shabbos. Because in Shabbos there's a new halacha, a new condition, and that is Meleches Machshavos.
So it's interesting that Rambam says Kishur HaMo'il. Mo'il is also synonymous with that Chashivas idea. Right. Why does he use the same lashon? It's kind of...
why isn't he saying Chashav? Why is he saying Mo'il?
I like that. He's kind of proving the Rashba a little there, because he says, even if you did it, it doesn't really work.
Right. Ben is just asking, we would have been happier if the Rambam says Eino Chashav. Okay, but Eino Mo'il. I think that's the same concept. Eino Mo'il means it's not beneficial. You know, the Rambam was being a little bit more poetic about it, saying it's not Mo'il, it's not going to help you much. It's a Chatzi Gogeres. Who are you going to feed a Chatzi Gogeres? Yeah, it's like this minuscule thing. If you were Rav Chanina ben Dosa, I gave a whole shiur yesterday before Minch about Rav Chanina ben Dosa, he could eat a little bit of charuvim, you know, a kav of charuvim, and it would last him for a whole week. He was on such a level of a parch. But for you and I, a Chatzi Gogeres, come on, that's being really stingy. Okay, so let's take a look in the few minutes that we have left in the Totzos Chaim, which hopefully you have on that photocopied page. He says, Ayin Rashi, Shabbos Ayin Dalet Min Aleph, Dechatzi Shir Osur Min HaTorah B'Shabbos. So that's the Rashi that we saw in terms of Afia, which was the second source on our page. Ukfar Heiru, knows there were others who came before me who have already pointed out, Mehad Tosefta Beitza Perek Dalet, Dehakosev Os Achas Eno El Shvus, The word shvus is identical, is interchangeable with the drabana in terms of Shabbos. You know, when you talk about a drabana of Shabbos, it's called shvus. So what do you see from the Tosefta? The Tosefta is talking about a person who writes one letter instead of the shear of two letters. It's only what? A shvus. Shvus means only the Rabbanon. According to Rashi, it should be also in a Torah. But he says, Ulam b'Torahs Kohanim Achremos Muchach di Osim in a Torah Ayin Shah. So we have the Tosefta on the one hand, and we have the Torahs Kohanim, which is the Sifra, on the other hand. V'yesh l'hoyer l'mashakosav Rashi Zal b'Shabbos Daf Gimel diakira b'lo hanocha eino oser ela midrabana. Now we suggested before, based on the Tosus about the Machat case, where he picked it up before Shabbos, bless you, and that's only the Rabbana because he did the Akira before Shabbos. Now we wanted to equate that with Chatzi Shir because he did half of Moleches Hotzah, leaving out the Akira. And now we see that Rashi himself adopts the same position, albeit in a different daf, not on daf Yud Aleph, but on daf Gimel, that Akira without Hanocho, Hanocho without Akira, either way, is nothing more than a drabanan. So you see that Rashi himself seems to be on board with the fact that less than a full malach is only drabanan. It's not a doraisa, meaning it's a chisaron and maleches machsheves. Oh, but I am Me'iri. He says sometimes you want to figure out pshat and Rashi, you look in the Me'iri. The yesh chiluk bein chatzi shir lechatzi melacha. Whoa. This is interesting. Can anybody elaborate on that one line there? Yesh chiluk bein chatzi shir lechatzi melacha.
It's ain't no moly. Yeah, I mean, it's like we're taking these variables, do they stand on their own, or do they combine them, the variables? In other words, the malacha itself and the shiur of the malacha and their importance. We're really juggling three variables: importance, chashivas, and quantity.
I think all the things that somebody was machmir that they were mina Torah were achila.
Wait a second, Rabosa, I think are you steering away from the topic here? Again, I leave out achila for a second. Just if you could focus all your attention on these words, very few words, but I think everything is here in these words. You don't have to go to achila, or you don't have to stretch your arm out. Just these words, right? I feel like if I'm going to teach you, this is going to be my challenge to force you to focus on the words and not get carried away. Okay? Yesh chiluk, just underline those words. I was going to do so myself, except that my pen is right now inaccessible to me. I'm sure my wife will be happy to know that I put my pen through my shirt. Now I have a big hole in my shirt. Okay, it's appropriate for the 9 days, I guess. The Ayin Me'irisham, the Yesh Chiluk, just if you could underline those words. Yesh Chiluk bein Chatzi Shir lechatzi Melacha. Can you focus just on those words? I think there's like kol ha-tarkul in those words. You don't have to stretch your arm anywhere. Just
that's what we've been saying the whole time, that it's not in melachot. Chatzi shiur could be something different, that it's...
Why? But he's telling you why. Again, what do we say about the paradox of a kezias of nevela? That's the classical case of your paradigm of chatzi shiur. What was the paradox of saying chatzi shir is mutar min haTorah, right? That was Reish Lakish's position. We don't accept Reish Lakish. What was our kasha? You know, what was our objection?
Any mash kosher.
Correct. Every part of it has to be nevela. The Torah can't permit you to eat 99 out of 100% of the nevela.
I think the chiddush.
Correct. That's called a chatzi shir. But here, he did the Akira, but he didn't do the Anocha. He did the Anocha, but he didn't do the Akira. That's called Chatzi Malacha. What's he telling you here, Rabbi Nachum Zemba? I mean, in the name of the Be'iri.
The fact that this Kiddush, that a Malacha can divide it up into such a way that if it's less than the whole, it's not a Malacha.
Correct. You can't divide the Malacha. You can't divide the Malacha. The Malacha is made up of removing an object from its stationary place and putting it down in a new stationary place. If you're lacking that, you don't have the malach. Don't tell me chatzi shir. Chatzi shir means that every part of this nevela is nevela. It doesn't all of a sudden, what's called abracadabra become nevela when you get to the size. Bingo! You remember in the carnivals, you had to bang the thing, and if it hit the bell, the red light went on. All of a sudden, it became nevela. Until now, what was I eating? No, it wasn't nevela. No, it was kosher food, right? And now, all of a sudden, I hit the kazayis button, and boom, it became nevela. That's what Rabbi Yochanan is yelling and screaming at. That's chatzi shir. But in Malacha, you did chatzi Malacha, says the Meir.
It's not called a Malacha.
It's not called a Malacha. This has nothing to do with that discussion.
In other words, it's Malacha or not Malacha. It's
yeah, tell me what defines the Malacha. What is the Malacha? What do you accomplish in Hotzah? The accomplishment of Hotzah is Akira Hanacha in two different Rishuyos. If you're lacking any part and parcel, that's not a Malacha's Hotzah.
The essence of it is not forbidden yet until it's done.
Correct. Correct. We're talking about quality of a malacha. We're defining the malacha.
In other words, bishul is in bishul until you reach a certain temperature. That's all. Until you reach that temperature, it's not even bishul.
Correct. But let's say
already on kosher.
Correct. But then let's say, for example, I turn up to yatzal lettuce, but it's got the heat, but there's only a half a gerub garis there. Then you can talk about chatzi shir, because then at least I did the malacha. But you want to quote Rashi and say that Rashi contradicts himself. Why? Because Rashi says if I bake half of a gerub garis, it's chatzi shir osam min haTorah, and yet the same Rashi says that if I did the akiru without the hanacha, that's mutar min haTorah. It's only the rabbanon. That's not a stira. Because you're comparing apples and oranges. You're comparing chatzi malacha to chatzi shir. If you're talking about the volume of which I baked or I cooked, okay, I didn't hit the home run. I didn't hit the whole volume. It was chatzi shir. But I did the full malacha. I cooked the half a shir. But if I did akir without anocha, vice versa, I didn't do the whole malacha. That's a whole different story.
Philosophically, how can we divide a malacha into a smaller unit? It's either malacha or it isn't.
Correct.
That's the chiddush.
Correct. You can't divide an action. In baseball, you could hit a first base, you could hit a double, you could hit a triple, you could hit a home run. That you could divide up the different actions. But if you're going to ask me, did he get a hit or did he not get a hit? There's no halfway. You can't run halfway to first base and tell me you got half a hit. You know what I'm saying? Okay, Rabbi, so I guess we'll have to stop here. There's a lot more to what we started.